Okay, this also has been presented during the last year a few times by Jean-Luc to the calibre of people. What I will try to do here is to outline where we are with this study, what we intend to do, and what we have learned over the last year. The project is called OSIFE. We've been working on it for a year and a half, maximum. The last year was essentially a year of discovery of calibre, of the principles of open source, and discovery of what has been done in Eurocontrol and in ATM before. Now we have four hypotheses, and I come back to that later, four hypotheses of what we want to investigate, but I will come to them individually. The objective of the study is, we note that there is this open source revolution, or paradigm shift, as it is being called by the respective gurus, and we want to investigate if, when, and how this would impact the business of ATM. So that's the result we want at the end. Will there be an impact? When? How? And if the impact is positive, how can we facilitate it and speed it up? So the project is called OSIFE, Open Source Implications for Eurocontrol. That summarizes very well its objective. Now we've scoped this very quickly down to what was discussed before, the secondary software sector. We said we will not be looking, of course, Eurocontrol has 2,000 or 3,000 employees, of course there are PCs on every desk and so on, but the administrative software is not our business. So it might be interesting for our IT department to look at open source for office applications and so on. This is not the intention of our study. We look at the ATM business. And we don't look either at systems level software. You know, will we be using open source operating systems and so on? I mean, also that is not our business. We look at the application layer for open source. So really the core of the secondary sector software. So that repeats this. We're really in the application, in the business of ATM and the impact of open source there that we are looking. That was very important for internally positioning this project. Because we have a lot of IT partners that are at different levels, at the systems level, at the administrative tools level, or at the real ATM applications level. So what we've been doing so far is review the literature. There is quite a lot of literature, popular and technical, and a little scientific, on open source. We've defined the major hypotheses, and I will come back to that later. And we've been gathering facts and arguments during the last year, especially from the ATM world, and we have invited most of the partners that had something very interesting to say here today. What we intend to do is to analyze these case studies in more detail, and the prioritization of that work will be the result of today. What we learn here today from the confrontation of open source specialists with ATM specialists will give us an indication where the most fruitful case studies might lie. So, the end of 2004 was the definition of the project. Due to 2005, and essentially again, I say it, most of the work is Jean-Luc here, was a year of networking, a year of discovery, I would say. Within Eurocontrol, and I would formulate it much more positively, we discovered the lack of awareness, and there is of course a number of confusing definitions, freeware, open software, free software. It doesn't help, this kind of Babylonic discussion. What we especially detected is that there were many people that had done something very similar or that could be considered very similar or that had intentions to do something which could maybe be called open source. And that was not just Eurocontrol as an agency, but it was the industry around it as well. It is very interesting to notice that the participation here from the workshop, because it was open to people who are at the parallel workshop going on here, is mainly from the industrial partners. Mainly industrial partners were interested to join us here today. So that is quite interesting to notice. It's not the research partners. You have to know that the workshop which is going on is really a research workshop, but some industry partners are present and they showed an interest to discuss with us today. Then we didn't look only internally. Jean-Luc went to a lot of fairs and projects, and we are very happy to have detected Calibre, which is like the network of competence in Europe on this topic, as far as we are considering it. And so that is the place where we can have the contact to the experts and the latest research. And of course, there is not just the agency, as I said, there's also the ATM partners, and several of them will be present here today. Now, the way we structured this study is to think of it as bringing benefits potentially along four axes. Open source software could help us to create a more harmonized ATM system, and I will discuss that in more detail later. It would, or it should at least, give us the quality we have with today's software, if not improve it. That's another hypothesis we would have to validate. There would continue to be business for the industry providing the software. The business might change in nature, but there would continue to be a market for ATM applications. Also there, I will come back to that later. And Eurocontrol, and this is the only one which is in fact specific to Eurocontrol, could meet its public service or obligation better with this paradigm, and I will explain that later as well. Again, these are hypotheses, and it might be not true. We'll have to see. The first, and probably for the business of Eurocontrol, the most relevant one, because our role as a European organization is to coordinate, to integrate the systems in Europe. And there it's worthwhile looking whether open source might be a facilitator for better harmonization. Now, I think it's on the next slide that we will note it. During our discussions this year, I think we detected that the word interoperability would be a better term for this kind of objective. Traditionally, Eurocontrol has tried to achieve interoperability of the ATM systems, which is very much nationally dominated proprietary systems. Every country has its own service provider. They have their own suppliers. They have customized software for that, which till 20 years ago was limited to the country. Maybe they had several centers within one country. Maybe they communicate amongst each other. But crossing the border was a very difficult problem. And of course, that was the task of Eurocontrol, to integrate the systems ever more. There have been made a step at standardization with limited success. Some very successful communication standards for radar data and for exchanges of clearances and so on. So some exist, and I don't think the final word has been said about it, but they're very, very few. Knowing that Eurocontrol has been in existence, there are maximum six standards which have been officially adopted. Those few are very successful, but it has not solved the problem of interoperability. Other approaches in the 90s, the middle of the 90s, was a big program was started in Eurocontrol, the European Harmonization Program. I abbreviate the acronym because it's very long. And the approach there has been that Eurocontrol develops the applications and gives it to all the partners. By default, they would be interoperable because they would all have the same software. Now, this was done a few times. Even that has problems. We will discuss that later. It was done a few times. The most famous one is ARTAS, radar tracking system. This has led to monopoly situations for ATM software suppliers, of course. The one that had the ARTAS contract pushed the others out of the market, clearly. And this was not appreciated by the European Commission, and in fact, through some of the competitors of that software supplier. Eurocontrol stopped adopting this policy because we were really creating a monopoly and pushing other suppliers out of the market. That was just commercially, in terms of economic policy, not acceptable solution. The next step was that we allowed competition for these contracts, that we, in a project that never really went through, but that was set up for many years and where initial prototypes have been in existence or specifications have been in existence, the flight data processing system this time. And it has been used in smaller projects as well. There were multiple developments. So multiple contracts were led with industry. We've seen their cases, and I think Burkhard will remind me more concretely, where then these companies have bought each other, and we were back into the previous case. Since it is a small market, and since there's a lot of consolidation in the aerospace industry, that did not help us very much. Now, the hypothesis we want to investigate in this study, and I think we have, again, I'll come back to that in the next slide, good potential cases here with what we hear from Sipke and Carlos later today, is that maybe a better approach for Eurocontrol in the software arena would be, because the objective is still harmonization, a better approach would be that we finance or facilitate open source kernels. So at least the core functions are openly available. We might have to finance that. We might have to finance the evolution of that kernel. That has to be defined. But at least the kernel would be standard in Europe, would be open source, would be not just standard in Europe, it would be standard probably adopted by other regions as well. We've seen that before with the standards. Once they are successful, standards are publicly available. They go beyond our regional borders, and that has some benefits as well. So the idea would be, does it make sense that we have open source kernels, and then that will link us back to the business hypothesis? What would the software industry in ATM then do? Would they still have a business knowing that the kernel would be developed commonly? Maybe there would be one driver and the others would implicate themselves. Would there still be a marketplace for ATM software and applications around that? The advantage would be, and even there we have to debate, we put forward that then interoperability and harmonization would be very easy. Also, that has to be appreciated, whether wrapping this kernel into something else kills the interoperability or not. It's a question for debate. So what I said before, we learned during 2005 that harmonization was a confusing term. Within Eurocontrol it makes sense, but within the software world, we better talk simply of interoperability. That's the objective here. We found a case, and we will have a presentation today, that might be very relevant for this kind of hypothesis. It's a trajectory predictor. It is a kernel of a lot of applications in ATM. It predicts the future trajectory of aircrafts, and a lot of applications rely on that. Now, these are very complicated pieces of software. It may sound easy. It is very important that many of the applications share the same algorithm, but I'll let the specialists talk about this, because then the predictions are similar. If two parties predict it differently, then you run into trouble with the conclusions you draw. Eurocontrol has started another big wave of harmonization, another big program on harmonization. It's called CSAR. I will not go into the details. Again, it's very important that we offer alternatives to either market domination by producing one product or hardcore standardization, which limits itself to just interface specifications, which has not full scope of benefits and the full harmonization we were hoping for. So again, the time is ripe. That's essentially the message of the last bullet. The time is ripe to offer an alternative. The second issue is quality. Here we have a kind of defensive hypothesis. We should ensure that by applying open source, the quality does not degrade. And of course, in quality, we cover two very important concepts for ATM, which are safety and security. We must be sure that safety and security are maintained at the levels we have today, at least.
Yes? Paul Johnson, NATS. Just to add a comment to that, the two issues there, one is to have the quality of the software as it actually stays up, and the other is to be able to demonstrate it in the safety case. Mm-hmm. And the two are not necessarily the same thing.
That's good. Good remark. I don't think I would have said it that clearly, so thank you. Now, what we've learned in the year is that, because we were hoping to learn a lot from research on software engineering, in the software engineering field, on the quality of open source, these studies are not very easy, they're relatively sparse as well. But what is clear already, it's not black and white. It's not clear, it's not always so that open source is better, it's not always so that open source is worse. So it varies. So it is worthwhile the investigation to see whether the quality of open source software is better or not, and what are the variables that define, that influence the quality level. Is it the number of programmers that work on this open source and so on? All these variables have to be studied and put into context, how they apply to ATM. Because the typical argument always is ATM is a small market, there are very few players, you will not have a lot of programmers looking at the code, even if you open it up, so you don't have these benefits. But this is the kind of arguments we have to thrash out here. I would like to focus a bit more on safety and security. There has been a discussion at Calibre workshop in Krakow in October this year, and Jean-Luc has put forward two more detailed hypotheses for safety and security related to quality. It's important to, and this is something we learned from our colleagues in Maastricht. It's important to say that the ATM software, though safety is the bottom line of the business, an argument has been made, it may be a controversial argument, but an argument has been made that it's not the ATM software which is safety critical. It is more the avionics, and we're concerned with the ATM software. Because if everything goes fine, the aircraft are separated, and they will be separated for many minutes to come. By the time the system is up again, probably they're still separated. This is not the case so much for avionics, where the real risks lie. So that is probably slightly controversial, but it does show that there is a difference between the software in the ground systems and the software in the safety criticality, the life criticality of the software in the ground systems and the software in the airborne systems. So it is not, maybe not that life critical.
Mark, in the context of ATM, security is the fact that people don't have access to the ATM information, or it's they cannot tamper. What's the level of security you're shooting for?
Both. But is I'll come back to security separately, and we will come back with your question when, if I don't.
Mark, I would also like to make a remark on the safety issues of the ground-based software. I think your comment is very valid for the existing systems.
Yeah.
But if you look at the situation that we expect, the doubling of the traffic in 20 or 30 years' time, that situation may dramatically change.
You refer to the ever more progressing integration of ground and airborne systems,
I think even the problem of managing so many more aircraft per cubic kilometer will put a much stronger demand on the intelligence of ground systems, and as a consequence it will have safety impacts, which are different from what we know today.
Also, yeah. Okay. Noted. The other argument which I thought you were making was that the integration between airborne and ground systems is progressing rapidly, and even to the point where people say that if new systems are put into place, we would have to start certifying ground systems, which is a very expensive process. It's now done only for avionics. But because of the integration, if you want to do an end-to-end certification, we would have to start to involve ground systems. This is also an argument, the more traditional argument, which is being made quite a lot in the same vein. Again, as I said, our hypotheses on safety and security are defensive hypotheses. We want to ensure that we don't introduce additional risks by introducing open source along these dimensions. That's essentially what it says. Now, this is debatable. In terms of safety and also in terms of security, I will move to security as well. Essentially, we are saying that having more eyes on the software can only improve it. That is the hypothesis. For security, it's important to note here, it's also an important side remark, that we assume, and so far responsible ATM units do regular audits to verify this, we assume that the ATM system is isolated from other networks. That is a hypothesis here. This is still the trend. So the ATM systems themselves are very integrated, but they're not integrated with wide access public data networks. They still are dedicated systems, isolated. There are no bridges, and audits in operational units, audits take place very regularly to ensure that there are no bridges between the internet and the operational environment or any other network. Now, this as well might deserve a more in-depth study if this were to be crucial, if this hypothesis were to be crucial. On business model, we're very weak on our understanding in that area, and we will have some very interesting presentations today that talk about this. And we know that the ATM application providing industry is a fragile industry. They're major players, they're big companies, but they don't seem to make a lot of revenue from this business. They're also still in the habit of customizing their software very much. Many people have predicted that long ago they would have done what Airbus and Boeing have done 30 years ago, that is standardizing the cockpit. They have not standardized the ATM controller positions. So there's still quite a lot of variety from one country to another, from one client of the software to another, which induces costs. It's not clear whether that part of the cost is exactly generating the profits or not to these companies. So their business models are not very clear, but it's clear that they're not making lots of money out of the ATM business. So we cannot go around the issue as how would the business model look in an open source system where the kernels would probably be financed by all parties, meaning by Eurocontrol, and everybody could contribute to it, but the business would have to come from what? The services around it, the fringe products around it. It is worthwhile looking at how this industry would evolve if the kernels, in order to ensure interoperability, are open source. Now, during the year, take out just a few lines. I'm not very comfortable at this area and hope to learn a lot today on this dimension, but we'll have a representative from AdaCore. We also know that bigger players like IBM base their business models to some extent on, and to a larger extent, on open source. So the question is whether this would be possible in ATM applications as well. Now, what we have seen, and here also it is important, we have seen that when Eurocontrol finances bigger software developments on behalf of the member states, on behalf of the service providers in Europe very often, that there is a big danger of appropriation. So that we pay the development over many, many years. These things are always late over budget and so on. This is a traditional phenomenon, not just for software, but especially for software in this kind of industry. We pay the development, often we create a monopoly by it unavoidably, or we have the development paid twice, not necessarily better, and by that we lose the control of the software. In the end, we find ourselves paying, we pay the development and we pay again for the product, because by then it belongs to the company. So it's not just lock-in, there is really the risk of appropriation, that we lose complete control of the evolution of the software. I think there is something to be said also, and I hope that Burkhardt will go into that. Burkhardt is very much involved in IPR issues for Eurocontrol, and he comes from our contracts department, so he knows very well what the risks are, and surely we try to avoid this with intelligent IPR clauses. But if you talk to project managers, and Jean-Luc has spoken to quite a lot of them over the last year, this general feeling that we have a lock-in and that there is some appropriation of our software by suppliers so that we lose the control is very, very clear. So also there, it's important for Eurocontrol and I think for every ATM supplier to counter this kind of risk. Finally, specifically for Eurocontrol, we are a public service. Whatever we do is in the interest of the public, in the interest of our member states. And this goes beyond operationally usable software. Here you are in the research center of Eurocontrol, the experimental center. We have a lot of software here that is being created over a number of years. Some experiments are being done and then people move on to different topics, to different projects, and the software just languishes, disappears, nobody uses it. 5 years later, they might have a benefit in going back to these experiments. Other research centers might have a benefit to going back to these experiments. There are big infrastructures here, like simulators, same thing, experimental developments are being made and are not necessarily accessible. We have noted, and there is a very important intervention today by Jean-Dominique as well, that there is an interest outside for this kind of software. Even, and I'll come back to that risk, there is an interest outside to have access to this kind of software, which for us has only benefits. If we were to make it accessible, at least we would archive it. And we would know ourselves that it still exists, which is often not even the case. Or if we know it exists, we don't know where it is. If we would have a systematic way of making this software public, of opening it up, it might not just benefit us, but our research partners, and even some commercial partners. And we will have the intervention from Jean-Dominique later. He has shown an interest in one of the pieces of software which for us has no value. Now, there is immediately a counter argument that comes from our project managers, is that this software does not necessarily have the quality to be opened up and to keep the image of Eurocontrol up. So that is an argument we need to discuss later today. In fact, there is an interesting parallel with another organization in the UK, the BBC, and it is not on open software, but this is on opening up also their IPR rights to to some of the things they produced, and they are very on the forefront of opening up their digital, their libraries of their production, their films, their dramas, and so on. Everything they produce, they have the IPR. They start to release a part of that to, in fact, to stimulate innovation and a new kind of production. They believe that there is an interest in the media industry to make new productions, new documentaries, new films, experimental often, based on existing material. But for that, the existing material must be openly usable. So this does not relate to software, but just to the IPR discussion around open source. And so they have started with the perspective, with their mandate as public service to release this. They say this has been paid by the community. There is no reason why the community cannot creatively use the products we have. Now, this same argument might be valid for us, at least in the research community. We have done research with public money. There is no reason why these tools we have developed in order to attain the results would not be put in the hands of other researchers which might see a use in it. So I will now give the word to you.
Paul Johnson again. My thought was Eric Raymond's law of open source development, which is release early, release often. So there's no problem in releasing something. Give it a 0 point version number, but release it.
That might be a good strategy to counter the comments that in the end you release something which is not usable because it's become too big and nobody's been involved over the time.
Just say this is a research prototype in the agreement. Nobody will accuse you of lying.
It's very good. It shows that we are still immature and we didn't think of this kind of arguments. This is the kind of benefits we want from the discussion today. Now this concludes my presentation. So what I want to say is that we're looking at four dimensions of open source implications for ATM. It's a dimension of public service, business, how will the business evolve, quality, will we have at least the same quality or better, and harmonization. Will we achieve the objective we have in Europe to integrate these systems more easily with open source on that? So this is the lines of research. We've presented this during the year several times, and these, unless you have big objections, and we learn many things around this today, they seem to be the four relevant questions to ask, and they are not resolved yet. Thank you.